Yesterday we got to Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, Tana de Bei Menashe, Eiz, if one has a goat, Shechokak lo bein karneha, that he was drilled in between. So to preface, we said that that animals are allowed to go out with some form of leash. So the Gemara is saying, however, that with goats, since this leash, their heads are so thin, the leash is easy to come off. And memela, it is prohibited to go out with a leash for a goat, because it's going to shake off the leash. And it'll shake off the leash, then you'll be left holding just the leash in your hand. And you'll walk with it. Dalet Amos and Rosh Hasharabim. However, says the Gemara, if you drill it into its horns, I think that's what it means, is that you drill the actual leash through the horns. I think that's what it means. Or you find some groove in the horns, but you tie it down to the horns in some way that it's not going to come out. So then it would be mutter for a goat to go out with some sort of leash as well. So eiz shechokak lo bein karneha, if you make like a groove into the horns and you put the leash over there, or you drill through the horns or some form of action like that, so bekitzer, it's not going to come off, then it's yotze b'afsa b'Shabbos. It's permitted for the goat to go around with that leash on Shabbos. But Rav Yosef tochel of bezikna mahu, what happens if you tie it to the goat's beard? Kevan the imen natechla, since if the goat would try to get away from this afsa, to get away from this leash holding it, ka'ivla, it's going to hurt it, because it's attached to its beard. Loy aisi lenatucha, it's not going to go ahead and pull and try to get away. Or do we say that, no, tying it to the hair, you're not always going to do such a great job. And dilma zimnin derapi, sometimes it will be tied down loosely, v'nafel, and will fall off by itself. V'azula sui dalar amas b'shis rabim, and you'll come to carry your leash for amas and b'shis rabim, and the Gemara says, teiku. Tanan hasim. One is not allowed to go around with a strap, with a ritsuya, with a bow, or a rope, in between the horns of a cow. The Gemara discusses this. Amar b'yirmi bar Abba, pligi bar Rav, u'shmul is machlekes, chad amar bein lenoi, bein leshamar is aser. One man, the Amar, said, whether you put that strip, that strap there, lenoi, as a bow to make it look nice, or bein l'shamar, or you used it as some sort of leash to grab hold of the cow with, bein kach, it is usser. A cow cannot go out with this thing between its horns. The Chad Amar once said, no, if you put it there, lenoi, if you put it there for prettiness, it was a girl cow and you wanted to give it a bow, so then, usser. But l'shamer, but if you're putting it there to guard it, a cow, it's mutter. Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, you know what? You said it was Rav and Shmuel, and then you said one says this and one says that, indicating that you don't know which one said which. So he said, I'll prove it to you that Shmuel is the one who said that it is permitted to go out l'shamer, that it is permitted to go out to guard it. Why? Why would we prove that? Because Shmuel said earlier that any form of extra guarding, if you use a Brinks truck to guard your hamster, that's fine. Any form of extra guarding is permitted. So over here, even though a cow generally doesn't need any form of leash, even though a cow is good on its own, nevertheless, if you want to put on a leash, which would be considered an extra shmirah, it's still beseder. Let's see. Says the Gemara, to time the Shmuel, let us prove that Shmuel, who the Amar Lenoi also L'shamer Mutter, is the one who said that L'shamer is Mutter. The Amar Vuna Bar Chia Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kechananya, the Halacha follows Chananya, that extra shmirah is Mutter. Amar Le Abaya. Abaya said, but earlier we had another statement from Shmuel that was indicative that Shmuel did not allow extra shmirah. Adarabba, tis time the Shmuel who the Amar bein lenoi bein l'shamer is aser. Let us prove that Shmuel is the one who said that whether it's lenoi, whether it's l'shamer, it's prohibited. Whether you put the bow on the cow because you want it to make it look pretty, whether you put the bow on the cow because you want it to give a place that you can grab hold of it, it's prohibited. Why? The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said back on Nun Aleph Amar Beis, the Adam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machlifin Lefnei Rabbi Shel Zubazu, we asked Rabbi, what's the halacha if you switch around the ones in the Mishnah, you put a gamel, you put an afsar, you put a chaitim on, and you switched all the things around the Mishnah. Mahu and Amar Lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi responded to Shmuel, Kach Amar Abbas, this so said my father, Dalad Behemoth Yotzeis Ba'afsar, four behemoths are allowed to go out with this afsar, with this halter. A horse, a parrot, a mule, a gamel, a camel, a chamor, and a donkey. Now, that list, was that not coming, was that not coming to exclude that a camel cannot go out with extra protection? So, from the fact that Shmuel had that conversation with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yaisi, obviously, l'shamer is usher. Extra shmir. Now, the truth is that I'm not really sure I understand the Gemara's question, because the Gemara on Nun Aleph Beis knocked it off and said, no, that's not what it's coming for. So, I'm not sure. Yeah, actually, Tosis asked this question. Okay. Tosis in Adrab says, what's the question? The Gemara before knocked it off. The Gemara said, that's not what it's coming for. But okay. So the Gemara says, so we now have a proof that indicates that if you use a bulldog chain for your hamster, in one place, Shmuel said the halacha is like Hananya, which you're allowed to do anything that's for Shmira, it's mutter, even if it's a Shmira that's way more than you need. And in one place, Shmuel seems to indicate that the halacha is that you're only allowed to do a Shmira that is relevant and proper for the animal in question. You cannot do an overkill on the Shmira. So what's that? Which one is correct? The Gemara answers, Samiha Makmeha, erase this second proof, Makmiha, in place of the first proof. The first proof is a better proof. And Shmuel indeed holds that going for overkill on the Shmira is permitted. The Gemara says, Umay chazus demas misha makmiha, maybe samiha makmiha. How do you know to erase the second one instead of the first one? Maybe erase the first one instead of the second one? Says the Gemara, because because we found another place where Shmuel said beferish that Lenoi is usher, but Lashamer is mutter. We found a place where he states beferish that it is mutter to go for a rope on a cow, even though cows generally don't need anything. But since you're going for Shmira, it's mutter. The Itmar Rav Chibar Ashi Amar Rav, because we have a statement beferish that in the name of Rav, Bein Lenoi Bein Lashamer is Aser, Bevchibar Oven Amar Shmuel said Lenoi Aser Lashamer Mutter. He is a beferish of Brisa elsewhere, or a beferish of statement, sorry, I should say elsewhere, that states that according to Shmuel, it is prohibited to have a bow on your cow, but it is permitted to have a Shmira on your cow, even though cows generally do not need any form of Shmira. Meisvei questions the Gemara. Kashra baila b'moisera is kshera. The halacha is that the halacha is by para aduma. You're not allowed to have any form of work on the animal. Even if one day you by mistake put your laptop on top of it just to hold it for a second while you tied your shoe, you will passel and invalidate that para aduma. In fact, they had a para aduma recently in New Jersey. One of the farms there had a para aduma. And all the rabbanim, they went to check it out. Rabbi David Feinstein and a whole bunch of rabbanim, they said that's taka para aduma. It's a kosher para aduma. And so one of the wealthy individuals in New York City offered the guy $1 million to buy it, and he refused. He said he wants, it's a regular geisha farmer, but he was, a Christian, whatever. He said he wants to be the one to give it to Mashiach. And he did not take the deal. Stamazo, you have to know this. You probably need Shmira, that the guy never used it for anything. But Benkech, Lamai said that was over 2 years ago, and it would be invalidated now due to age. But guys, oh well, it's at least he hope he's lying if he gets zuchusim for turning down a $1 million deal. But You could look for it on YouTube. It's on YouTube. The guy talks about it, and it's a. You could see the cat. So you see the Rabbanim going. Also, he has a video of the Rabbanim going to check it out. So you can search for like red cow, whatever, in New Jersey after this year, of course. Kosher baila be maisera. So the Gemara says if the owner is tied a leash to this cow, it's kosher. Questions the Gemara. The Isak, Rav, you hold that anything that's extra shmira is considered carrying, and that's why you don't allow an animal to go out with a leash on Shabbos. So how come it's permitted to have a leash on your para aduma? Why is that not considered an extra carrying? It states beferish that it did not carry anything. It did not have a yoke on it. Amar Achman of the Torah says, question mark. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye, b'moylicha me'ir li'ir. That Gemara, that Mishnah, which allows you to put a leash on your para aduma, is talking about a specific case where you're going cross, you know, going from city to city, intercity. And therefore, since you're going intercity, you're going from city to city, in that case, it's not considered an extra shmira. Generally, cows in your farm don't need anything. You want the cow to come, you clap and he comes. But if you're walking from city to city, then that's already not so crazy to say that you need a leash. You never know what can happen on the way. So in that case, it's considered normal to have a leash. That's answer number one. Answer number two is Rav Amar Shani Parat Dameha Yikarin. A regular cow, it's not normal for you to require a leash. But a para aduma, which is a lot of money, like we just said, you got a guy offered him $1 million for it. So then you take bigger precautions for animals that are more expensive. So yes, you're right, your general Holstein cow, you're not going to go ahead and put a leash on it. But, $1 million cow, you will. You know, that's considered normal shmira. Well, if a person has a pet rock, what's normal shmira for a pet rock? Not much. You could leave it on your front porch for days on end. Nobody's going to take it. But if you have a diamond, you need more shmira. It's not normal to guard your pet rock with a Brinks truck. But if you have a diamond the size of your pet rock, then it is normal to guard it with a pet rock. With it. So if it's more expensive, it's more normal to guard it heavily. And Ravina Amar Bemoiredes, we're talking about a wild cow. Not all cows are calm and peaceful and cows. Some cows are very... So this cow punked was a. This cow needed an extra shmir. The Gemara continues. Asus bishir, a horse is allowed to go out with some. This metal ring around its neck, and then you clip another ring to it, and then a leash to that. Says the Gemara, my yoitzin, my nimshachin. What does it mean? It says, the Mishnah says, your yoitzin and your nimshachin. What does that mean? Amar Rav Huna. You are allowed to go around with this leash around the horse's neck, tied around the horse's neck, even if it's pulled tight around the horse's neck. Therefore, according to Rashi, this is Machlokes Rashi, that I don't understand this, as with most things. So, the Maisa, we'll go with Rashi over here again. It's mutter to go ahead and tie this thing around the horse's neck, and then even though you can't pull the horse with it, so the only reason that you would have it around is for noi. Tosis asks, I thought you just told me everybody says noi is good is no good. So the mice, the mahalach to answer for Rashi is that it's considered normal for horses to have noi, and therefore even for horses it's mutter to go around.
What's the mitzvah with kruchim? That you can't use it to guide the animal? It's so tight around its neck, you can't grip it.
Correct.
And what's the ring? Is it an extra ring that's dangling from it? Or no?
I mean, generally there is, but you tied it around the neck.
So there's a loop around the neck, and that's it. That's all there is.
There is a heavy metal ring around the neck of the I think it's metal, yeah. There's a heavy metal ring around the neck of the horse. In that metal neck, there's a little, you know, loop that attaches to a rope, and then you tied the rope around the neck of the horse several times. You did that l'shem noi, according to Rashi. And it's mutter, even though we just said a whole gemara about that noise asa l'kuli alma, which is Taisa's question. Nevertheless, if it's normal for horses to go around like that, then it's not considered a masa. It's not considered carrying.
So kruchin just means it was put on for noy.
Yes, according to Rashi.
And mshachim means it was put on to lead the animal.
Correct.
And it could be the same mitzvah as to how the ring is arranged.
No. Mshachar means that it's hanging down, I'm saying. And kruchin means that it's tied tight around the neck.
Okay, got it.
So, kruchin and mshachar. And Shmuel Amar, yoitzin mshachar ve'en yoitzin kruchin. Shmuel says that no, you're only allowed to have the horse go around if the leash is dangling down, so you could lead it with it. However, if it's kruchin, then it is not mutter. Because it's only for a noi. And even though horses generally go around with this type of noi, it is not permitted. B'masnisatana, in a Mishnah, in a Braisa, it was taught, Yoitzim kruchin limoshech. You're allowed to go ahead and take it out, kruchin, meaning wrapped around the neck, if you could get your hands in there and pull it with that kruchin. In other words, it is wrapped around the neck. But the way to read the Mishnah is it's mutter to go around with it wrapped around the neck, so it gives you a place to grip it and pull the horse. So it is wrapped around the neck, but it's not so tight that you can't get your hands in there. Amar of Yosef. Chazina lehu le'igli de Beir Avuna. I saw the cows of Avuna. Yoitzin ba'afsarehen. They went out with their halters, kruchen b'shabbos, tied around their necks b'shabbos. Here's one of the words that have filtered down through history because it's a mule. A mulois shall base Rebbe. If you have the mules of Rebbe's house, they went out with their halters on Shabbos. Questions the Gemara. Okay, but that doesn't help me. Kruchin or Nimshachin. Ibalu, Kruchin or Nimshachin. Tashema, ki asur of Shmu bar Yehuda, Amar of Chanina. Mulois shall base Rebbe, Yoitz ba'av Sreyan, Kruchin b'Shabbos. No, he meant to say Kruchin. Even though they're kruchin. Amru Rabbanan Kemeder of Asi. The Rabbanan said, I don't even know what your question was. Of course he meant kruchin. What else do you think he meant when he said that the mules went out on Shabbos? Hadar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Leitzricha. You don't need me to tell. This last statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda that he went out kruchin was unnecessary. Because mid the Rav Dimi Nafka. Rav Dimi's statement that stated that the mules went out on Shabbos with their halters. Of course that's what he meant, kruchin, because otherwise what was he saying? The Isakadaidach the Rav Dimi Nimshachin Ka'amar. If you meant to say that Rav Dimi meant there was Nimshachin, that mid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. That we already know from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who stated the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this statement that we had already for the third time in this parak. Ma'achlifin al yulifnei Rabbi shall zubazumahu and Amar lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi kach Amar Abba arba ba'emes yotzes ba'avzer. Four animals are allowed to go out with a halter. So, to start, we have a statement that says that Rebbe said it is permitted for these four animals to go out with a halter. So we already know it's permitted for them to go out with a halter. Now comes along statement number two, Rav Dimi. The mules of Rebbe's house went out with a halter. Well, duh. Rebbe said that that's mutter. It must be Rav Dimi was saying it. They went out with a halter, kruchen. Otherwise, what is he teaching us? So why do you need this third statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel that they went out kruchen? Of course, what do you think Rav Dimi meant? Amaluhu Rav Asi, itzrich lehu. No, we do need all three statements. Because the Imad Rabbi Yehuda Nafka, from that first statement that Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his father, that wasn't necessarily accepted. It was very nice that that was the response, but who said anybody accepted it? Havamin Amar Lefanav like Kibla, he sent it back to him, but he wasn't mekabel it. That's the halacha. That's what Rav Dimi said, that no, that it's permitted to go out with, that's why we need the second statement, it's permitted to go out with an afsar, with this halter. The either of Dimi, and if it was from Rav Dimi, I would have thought specifically because it was hanging down, I wouldn't have known this third statement, that even if it was kruchen, even if it was wrapped around. And that's why we need the third statement. That's why we need the third statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Omezon Elein V'Teitlin B'Mekayman. Go ahead, what are you saying?
The Mishnah is telling us that a horse can go out with a ring for noy.
According to Rav, it is permitted, not according to everybody, because that was the first three statements. The Mishnah had said that it's butter to go out, yoitzin bishir v'nimshachin bishir. What are the two things? So according to Rashi, Rav's explanation was that you're allowed to go out with it for noy and for shmira. Shmuel disagreed. Shmuel said that you're only allowed to go out if it's nimshachin. And the third opinion was that you're allowed to go out in two different formats, but not for noy. It's got to be that you're able to grab hold of it. So only according to Rav's opinion is it mutter to go out for strictly for noy.
Okay, did you just give shot in this last section of Hasos Besher?
No.
No.
On the whole section, I gave chat in the first three lines of after Hasus Besher.
Okay, fine.
Hasus Besher, it says, Yoitzin Besher v'nimshachin Besher. So what are those two things? The first one is for Noi, and the second one is for Nimshachin. That's the way Rav explains it. Shmuel explains it, no, both have to be for Nimshachin, and the third one is, it's able to go out Kruchin as long as you're able to get your hand in. Okay, umezin alein v'tayim v'kamer. Now the last line of the Mishnah says that this sus b'sher, which we just explained, is also with regards to hilchas tvila, it's able to go to the mikvah even while it's on the horse, A, and B, you're able to do sprinkling of the para aduma waters even while it's on the animal. Lememra says the Gemara. What? Excellent. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The chiddush of the Mishnah is, even though it's on the animal, it is not a chatzitza. That is the chiddush. Says the Gemara, forget going to the mikvah. How is it even tame? Any object that is used for an animal is not chashiv to contract tuma. Remember the b'nei kibule tuma? No. Are you telling me that this ring of the animal is able to contract tuma? V'hatanan, we have a mishnah which states that a ring of a man, tabas adam, or of humans is tumeya. But tabas behema, but a ring that belongs to an animal or v'kelim, a ring that belongs to a object, for example, a knocker on a door. V'kelim, v'shar kol tabas, and any other type of ring is taharis. Only objects that are used to adorn a man are considered aser, are considered able to be mekabel tumah. So why are you telling me, why do you think that this ring should be able to be mekabel tumah? The Gemara gives two answers. Amar of Yitzchak, it used to be the ring of a man. It used to be, I don't know exactly why a man would be wearing such a large ring that can fit around the horse's neck, but it used to be a ring of a person, and therefore when it was the ring of a person, it was able to be mekabel tumah. And then you said, hey, let me use this for my horse. So since it used to be the ring of a man, it got the status of being able to be mekabel tumah. And it didn't lose it when you transferred it to your horse, to the stable. Bibotin, where it's coming from, minoy adam, it used to be a ring that was for beautification of man, lenoy behema, to a noy behema. I don't know, maybe it was some sort of belt that a person wore. You know, some sort, it was a belt. And therefore, you're now, since it was a belt, it was mekabel tumah, now you're transferring it over to your local horse.
Why does it have to be kamtani? Why does that thing have to be kamtani? It's still chatzitza.
The chiddush of the Mishnah is that it's a chatzitza, but the Gemara is focusing on something else. The Gemara is focusing on how could it become tummy, bechlal? How could it get tumah? It's a ring that is of an animal. It's a ring servicing an animal. A ring servicing an animal cannot contract tumah at all.
No, but it doesn't have to contract tumah. The ring doesn't have to. It's just blocking the part under the...
Certainly an animal cannot contract tumah. An animal is not getting tumah. That's not... We're not putting the horse in the mikvah. The question is, the kalim of the mikvah, the kalim of the horse is what we're talking about. We're talking about specifically this ring. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that it can go to the mikvah even while it's on the horse. That's the chiddush. The Gemara is saying it could go to the mikvah. That means it could become. That means you want to take it to the mikvah because it's tame. One second, it can't become tame. What's going on here? The Gemara's answer is, it's talking about a belt that used to belong to a man. So it became tame. Now you put it on the horse. Now you want it to go to the mikvah. Oh, that's not a chatzitza. That's where the Mishnah's chiddush is, where it used to belong to a man. Good?
Yeah.
So, b'boy, minoy Adam.
If you say that it's not... Once it's on an animal, it's no longer a makabel tuma. In a way, that would be sort of like breaking it.
So, excellent. In order to break a keli, you actually have to make a physical change to it. You can't just designate it for something else. Even if you clip it onto an animal, you didn't physically change it.
Right, because otherwise you just say, okay, it's tame. Okay, now it's an animal, now it's mine again.
Exactly. Well, that would be sound like you're saying it's Darabanan. It's not even Darabanan. In order for you to lose the Tumah, it's got to have a physical change happen to it.
So what's the physical change that would happen when having it be for an animal that used to be for a human?
The Gemara is saying that none existed, or one existed, but in our case it didn't. In our case, you took the belt off you, so it's a Kalitz Mekabel Tumah, and you clipped it onto the animal. And that's why it's still Mekabel Tuma. Since it used to be able to be Mekabel Tuma, and you didn't do a physical change to it, you just redesignated it, it retains its ability to contract Tuma. And that's why it's Tame. And that's why it needs to go to the mikvah. You're right, if you punched extra holes in it, the Gemara is going to discuss about punching extra holes in it, but if you, changed it somewhat, a physical change, then that would make it lose its tuma. So the Gemara says, "B'bayim mina adam l'nei behema." Rav Yosef Amar, a different teretz. Hayal v'adam moishich behenas behema. You don't have to come on to any teretz like that, since you write this keli is placed on a behema. But it's placed on the behemoth so the human owner, can use it. It's there for the human. It's not there for the behemoth. It's put on the behemoth. It's put on the behemoth so the human owner can use it. So it's a keli of a human. It's not a keli of a behemoth. Since a person drags the animal with this thing, he brings a proof. Mila tanya makal shel behemoth, a cow prod. Shel matechas, a metal one. It's makabel tuma. Why? Because a human uses it. Since a person uses it for his animals, he guides his animals with it. A person uses it to pull his horse. That's why it's tummy. Now, the Gemara comes to Rabbi Baron's question. There is a chatzitza here. How is it mutter? That's your shayla, right? That was your question. Excellent. So this is the chiddush of the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Ami Bishiv Ritchon. It's talking about where you banged the keli. So the Gemara's question over here is that, I think the Gemara's question, one second, is... The Gemara's question is not that it's so tight around the horse's neck, but rather the loop that goes into this ring that's around the horse's neck is so tight. So the Gemara answers that you made the hole that the loop goes in, you made the hole very wide. You banged it out, you took a hammer, and you made the hole looser and wider, so therefore the rope that goes in it is looser, and mamela, it's loose. And therefore, it is not a chatzitza. Anything that's loose is technically not a chatzitza. The mice of the minhig is when we go to the mikvah, we don't wear anything. But technically, by the strict dinim, and obviously we don't do this because that's not the minhig, but technically by the strict dinim, if a person wears a bathing suit, that's fine also. Because, our minhig is not to do that. But... if a person is let's say, you know, a man, I wouldn't give this heter for a lady, but for a man is stuck on a beach and he likes to be makbid on the mikveh every morning, so and he doesn't want to be arrested for, you know, public indecency, so he should wear a bathing suit, go into the lake, and you know, you could just loosen it around himself. He doesn't have to take it off entirely, even if he wants to do it underwater, because a lot of times you take it off underwater and then you lose it, so then you're stuck. So it's okay to do. I'm saying, especially for a man, it's not really, you know, you're getting the diaraisa, 100% of going to the mikveh. All right. V'ha'ika chatzitza, amar Rabbi Ami b'shiritchan. It's talking about where you loosened it. You banged it down. So now the Gemara is asking Michael's question. You banged it down. If you banged it down, so then that's a maisa. You didn't just designate it for the animal. You took a hammer, you made a change in it. Lema Rav Ami Rav Yosef Svirle. Let us say Rav Ami holds of Rav Yosef in the previous Gemara. Because the Iker Vizal, because if he holds of the first answer, the Amr V'boim Minot Adam V'Naibayim, that it used to be a human ring, and that's the reason why it's Mekabel Tumah. And then when it gets transferred to an Abahama ring, it doesn't lose its status. So if that's the Yosef, so then over here, you did make it lose its status. Kevin the Ritchan Avid Buhu Maisa Uparcha. Kevin the Ritchan, once you bang it down, you did a mice to it. Uparcha la tuma minayu. Then the tuma should fly away from it. Dithnan, kola kalim yordin liday tumasa b'machshava. If you have an item and you decide that it's going to be usable for something, let's say you have a large sheet and you say, you know what, that's going to be a tablecloth. Boom! It's mekabel tuma. Just with that, just by your thinking about it. But v'ein oilin mitumasa ela b'shina maisa. But you can't get it to become not mekabel tuma, except with a shinoi maiser, except if you do some sort of action to it. The Gemara says, "Sava like Rabbi Yehuda." He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar maiser l'takein lav maiserhu. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a maiser, in order, if you want to lose the tuma, it's got to be a maiser to detriment of the keli. It's got to ruin the keli. Here, since it's helping the keli, it's a positive maiser. It doesn't make it lose the tuma. That's what I was saying before. If you punch in more holes in order for the make the belt better, that's not going to make it lose the tumah. It has to be a maisa that's detrimental to it. When we say shinoi maisa takes off the tumah, it's not lesakin. It's not if that maisa was to help it out. It's only if that maisa was lekalkal to ruin it. That's the first answer. The question was, Ayitza Chatzitza. The answer is, you banged it down. The second answer is, B'masnisatana B'mechulalin. It's talking about where it was hollow, that originally the holes were very wide, so you didn't even have to bang it down. So it's the same answer in the end of the day, that it's not tight enough to be considered a Chatzitza. Sho'al Talmud Echad Migalil Ha'eli. Okay, so now, that's it. That's the end of the Gemara. Now the Gemara, because we started to talk about Tumah and Tahira, we will get into, again, a little bit of Tumah and Tahira. And this happens again and again in Masechet Shabbos. Sho'al Talmud Echad Migalil Ha'elyon, a student from the Galil, asked Es Rabbi Elazar the following question. Shamati, I heard, Shecholkin Bein Tabas L'Tabas, that there are differences in Halacha between different types of rings. But I don't. I heard a shear, and the Rav kept saying, "If it's this ring, if it's that ring, this ring, that ring." So, what was he talking about? What's the? Where in halacha do you have a difference of rings? So Amar Lo, he said to him, "Shemalei Shemata Elalinian Shabbos." With regards to Shabbos, we're going to see in the next parak that there's a difference in the type of rings, whether or not the ring has a, if it's a man's ring, if it's a lady's ring, if it has a seal, if it doesn't have a seal, when are you allowed to carry it? Probably that was the shear you were sitting in. Because the Ilinyan Tumah, because with regards to Tumah, there's no difference in rings. The Davida Achadi, all rings have the same halacha. The Gemara says, really? Ilinyan Tumah, Davida Achasi? We just quoted a Mishnah on Amar Aleph. V'atnan, Tabasa Adam Tumeh, V'tabas Behemah V'kelim, V'shar Kol HaTabayis, is Tyrus. We quoted a Mishnah on Amar Aleph, which said that rings of a human are Tumeh, rings of a person are Tumeh, rings of an animal are Tumeh. They cannot contract Tumah. Of course there are differences in the type of rings. The Gemara says, "Kika amarle ihu nami da adam ka amarle." Yeah, of course. But the shear was about human rings. That's why he said it. He was saying, I heard a difference between two different types of human rings. The Gemara says, Uda Adam, Davada Achasi? With regards to human rings, there's no difference with regards to the laws of Tum and Tahira. V'hatanya, we have a Bryce which states, Taba'as Shehiskina Lachgor Ba Masanab. If you have a ring that was designated to clip one's shirt or pants closed, Ulakashaba Bain Ksefav, or to clip his talus closed, you know, like a talus ring, like those people have. Some people have, you know, some sort of talus thing. So tahira, it's tar. V'loy amru tumeya elashel etzba bilvad, because that's there to be masakin your clothes. It's not there to be masakin you, and therefore it's tar. It cannot contract tuma. It's only tumay if it's used to adorn the body, not to help or adorn the clothes. So there is a difference even in human rings. And the Gemara says, yeah. But the shear was about finger rings. That was goofy. He was talking about finger rings. Ki kamerle iunami de etzba kamerle. He was saying, I heard a shear, two different types of finger rings. The Gemara says, oh, really? Even with finger rings, there's no difference? All rings have the same halacha with regards to tuma? Ude etzba dava da achasi v'hatanan. We have a Mishnah which states, taba'a shel matechas. If you have a metal ring, even if the seal is some sort of wood, the chayis mishal almoik, it's tamei, it's tamei, because we go after the part which holds it on your finger, and that's metal. However, he shall almoik, if the ring part is wood, the chayis mishal matechas, and the seal part, the part that's showing is metal, it's tahira shal matechas, it's tahira. So we see even on finger rings there exists a difference between two different types of human rings. So why did Rabbi Elazar say to him the only nafkamina is with regards to Shabbos? And the Gemara says, yes. Because he told Rabbi Elazar, in my shir, the guy was being mechalik between metal types of rings. Ki karmale yuhunami kula shel matechas karmale. So we'll have to wait for the next parak to see where in Masechah Shabbos there's a difference. But with regards to metal human finger rings, there is no difference with regards to the laws of Tumah. They are all contractible of Tumah. Only if you were in a shear that was differentiating between two different types of metal finger human finger rings, it must have been a shear about Shabbos, not about Tumah. Okay. He said another halacha. V'oid sho'al, he said a thing, Shamati shecholkin bein machat lamachat. I heard a shear that the Rav was differentiating between two different types of needles. What shear was I at? Amar le, shema lo shemata ela le'inyan Shabbos. You were at a shear with regards to Shabbos. Because the ilinyan tuma, with regards to tuma, all metal needles have the same halacha. Dava da achasi. Says the Gemara, u le'inyan tuma dava da achasi. With regards to tuma, all metal needles are one? But none. Machat shenitel chayra oy uksa tahira. If you have a needle that its point or its hole at the top of it have been snapped off, it's tar. Yeah, so the Gemara says, you're right, but he said that he was by a shear. So it's very interesting because he knew all the pratim of the shear. He didn't know exactly which shear he was by. It's like he knew exactly. It's like this person who came to shear once, like a hashkafa shear, and he's talking all about bitachan and this and that, and afterwards the guy comes over and says, it was a great shear, I just didn't understand one thing, like, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You kept mentioning, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is, like, so, you know, you can't be by a shear on bitachan and say you understood it, you just missed one thing. So, like, he's like, I understood all the pratim of the shear, I just didn't know if I was by Shabbos or Tuma, or, it's kind of like, if you don't know the topic of this year. But okay. So the Gemara says, yeah, kikam rele bishlema. He was saying, yeah, but my shir that was by was talking about whole needles. Ubishlema davada achasi. And whole needles, they all have the same halacha, v'hatnan. Machat she'elasa chaluda. If you have a needle that is encrusted with rust, if it's so rusty that you can't sew with it, it's tahira. V'imlav, and if not, it's tamea. So we see there is a difference. It's got to be that it's so rusty that if you were to sew with it, it would leave a stain on the clothes. So the Gemara says, you're right, but ki ka'amarle b'shifa ka'amarle. And we're talking about where it was smoothed down, there's no rust on it. So the Gemara says, b'shifa davda achasi. If it was smoothed down, no rust on it, it's taka still. All one halacha v'hatanya. We have a price which states, machat, if you have a needle, bein nekuva, bein einu nekuva, whether it has a hole in it, whether it doesn't have a hole in it, it is mutter l'tatla b'shabbos. whether it's a needle that... This, that it needs a hole, is only with regards to Hilchos Tuma. So we see that with regards to Hilchos Tuma, it does depend on whether or not it has a hole. And there's a difference between needles. So the Gemara answers, Ha Targuma Abaye Aliba Darava Bigolmi. That case, where it makes a difference if it was where it was where it has a hole or not, is talking about where it was an unfinished product. It was on the production line, and the machine still had to stamp out at the head of it a hole, and therefore that's why it's not mekabel tuma, because it still did not finish its thing yet. With regards to Shabbos, it's still mutter to move because you could still decide to use it like this. You could still use it for, you know, pulling out a splinter and things like that. So, and he was talking about machats that were completed already. Machats that were off the production line. So in that case, if it's off the production line, there's no difference between a pin or a needle that has a hole in its head. Both of them are able to contract tuma. So that's why he told them that with regards to full needles that do not have any rust on it, they're fully usable, and they are completely finished, regardless of if they have a hole in it or not, is not contractible of tuma, and that's why, or they both are contractible of tuma, there's no difference in the laws of tuma. That's why if you heard a shear, and the Rav was differentiating between two different types of whole metal needles that are usable, it must have been a shear with regards to Shabbos. That it was saying that... And the nafkamina would be, it's coming up in the next parak also, that there's a chilek with regards to carrying, whether or not you're chayev, if it had a hole in it or not. And we'll wait till it's another four blot. It's coming up in the next parak, the difference between the two. But with regards to you must have been in the shir regarding Shabbos. You were not in a shir regarding tuma. Because two different types of needles, there's no difference between having a hole and not having a hole. Both of them are contractable of tuma, so long as they're finished already. You're right, you found the brisa that says that there's a difference even with regards to tuma. But that's what it was on the production line. So it still didn't complete its production. But if you have two needles that are completed, one's a box of pushpins, one's a box of needles, with regards to tuma, they're both able to be mekabel tuma. All right, let's see the Mishnah. Chamor yoytzeh b'marda'as. A chamor is able to go out with a blanket. B'zman shehi kshura bay. So long as it is attached to it. So long as it is tied down. It's not going to fall off. Zucharim. Male animals. Rams. Are able to go out. Yoytzin levuvin. Are able to go out levuvin. Levuvin means that their tails are tied up. One second. I don't remember if it's the tails or their actual male members tied up. But one second.
Yeah, you have a picture that the male members covered.
Oh, one second. Shemachamim said, "Mekesh Shneim Shem Shelo Yivru." No, that's not it. Ravtani, Kravtani, it's Lachamim Chumas. I'm with the Tutri. My mashma that I live in Lishna the Krevu. I'm just quick and going through the Gemara on my base. Yeah, they cover over the male members. You had a picture of it?
Yeah, going on the rug, the button rug.
Oh, so okay. You'd mind pushing it a bit closer? There is, so there is some. They have some sort of leather hanging over, covering over their male members, so they don't mate with the females. So it's covering over the male members. Okay? Recheilois use female sheep. Yoitzois shechuzois. They are able to go out shechuzois. Shechuzois are that their tails are tied up in order to make them more enticing for the males. So they do want them to mate. Different times of the year, obviously. And kavulois and kavunois. Well, the Gemara is going to discuss kavulois is that they tie their the tails down because they don't want the males to mate, also at a different time of the year. And kavunois is that they tie a sheet over the wool in order to keep it white. Ha'izim, goats, yaitzes, tsururois, are able to go out with their udders tied, and the Gemara will discuss it. Rav Yaisi Oyser Bekulam, Rav Yaisi forbids all these practices mentioned, chutzman ha-rechelim ha-kavunis, except for the rechelas going around with the sheet over their wool to keep it white. And Rabbi Huda Amar Izum Yaitzes Tsururois Liyavish Avala Lechalev. Rabbi Huda says, sorry, that goats are able to go out with their udders tied if the purpose of tying the udders is to dry them out from the milk, but not if the purpose is to collect the milk, like you put a bag there. And that sums up Nun Beis Amud Beis. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Have an amazing day.
Thank you, Rob.
Agatin.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.